game, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us. John Tyler Grant is in for Mitch, who's got the call of MHS girls basketball tonight out at the McPherson Invitational. I keep calling it that, the Mid-America Classic at McPherson. They're in the semifinals after winning big yesterday. Hear from Bruce Weber a little bit, sprinkled in an hour or two at 5:10, who he thinks may be more motivated for this game. 5:25, he peeled back the curtain on how this Big 12 SEC challenge came about. Big 12 may have got duped in some ways. We'll debate our poll question in our next segment, which will end the hour, which is who's changing a tire faster, me or Tyler? As Tyler had to deal with some of that earlier today. You can continue to vote at JL Kurtz on Twitter. But for now, if you missed the top of the show, according to Kelis Robinette, Kansas City Star, Bruce Weber told him Dean Wade is a game-time decision for tomorrow's matchup against Tennessee. You just heard from Mike Strange of the Knoxville News Sentinel that Tennessee pretty up and down. They may be setting up for a letdown here off of the Kentucky win, but they have been playing some of their best basketball in the last couple of weeks. So we'll see, but the bottom line is you need Big 12 wins more than anything. Yes, this team does need wins in general, but because of the non-conference schedule being as easy as it was and how they stacked up wins, I mean, the overall record is fine. This is not like an Oklahoma or Texas situation where you lost so many games that you just need to pile up wins of any kind. You do need wins. This will be a top 50 win. But clearly, both games next week are much more important. I mean, the TCU game at home, that's a virtual must win. This game is much more take it or leave it. So the question I raise here, I mean, if Dean Wade is really that 50-50, it's teetering, and you could buy him an entire week's worth of rest, I mean, it would be, you know, he didn't play the second half against, or if he did, it was just barely. He played 17 minutes, and I don't remember seeing him in the second half against Iowa State. So you're essentially buying him half of a game there. Then you buy him 8 days because by the next time you actually play, it's Wednesday. I mean, there's a lot of time there in between that you could really get him some rest if you don't play him against Tennessee. So I think it is something that you'd have to really consider is just sitting him because, hey, yes, that may certainly hurt our cause in trying to beat Tennessee, but it's all about the big picture here. You need Dean Wade down the stretch. You need Dean Wade next week. You need to make sure that he's going to be all right when you're trying to pick off Big 12 games because that's ultimately what is going to get you to where you want to go.
Well, the way I look at it, the K-State needs six more wins to get to the NCAA tournament. If you get six more wins, I think that that puts you there with 21 wins overall. But there can be a difference in where those wins come, and I think that if you are a potential bubble team, as the committee looks at your resume, whether you have 21 wins, and that's because you went 10-8 in the league but lost this game, or 21 wins where you went 9-9 in the league but won this game, there's a difference there because the committee is going to look at your strength in the conference, and that can be a big factor. So I do think that you can put a little bit more importance in the conference games than in the Tennessee game. And to your points, I think that you can consider Dean Wade being, or consider sitting him and that being a positive thing if he's going to be totally healthy down the stretch.
Yeah, and that is a question I guess you'd have to ask yourself, and I can't answer those things. You know, how much benefit is there actually to that? You know, what's the payoff going to be for sitting him out? But I'd have to imagine that even if you just get his legs the rest of 8 days not playing a game, there is some inherent advantage in that as well for him being fresh. And Kamau Stokes probably in the same boat, but just because we've seen game time decision listed for Dean Wade, that's really the only one I'm going to debate here. But I'd certainly listen if you said, hey, sit both of them. I really honestly would. And that's almost to the point where you're going to say, all right, we'll chalk up an L at Tennessee, depending on what kind of effort they give. But for Dean Wade, in his case in particular, if it's that close, I'd lean towards sitting him. I mean, you know, the league wins obviously matter way more. That Tennessee or the TCU game, as I said, higher on the list of importance to get. And another factor that's coming to play here is that, you know, I looked at this game early in the week, before the Kentucky win for Tennessee, which obviously gave them a lot of juice. They've now become a top 50 RPI team. But as far back as a couple weeks ago, you looked at it and said, this is clearly just you have not much to gain and a ton to lose because Tennessee's not really going to help your resume. So if you lose that game, it would look bad. It'd be a bad loss. But if you win it, nobody's throwing you a parade by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just, smack dab in the middle of conference play when you don't want to be playing it. Now, Tennessee, with the Kentucky win, with just how their season has progressed, they have played some better basketball here lately. Yeah, they're a top 50 RPI team, so you lose that game. Losing a road game at a top 50 RPI team is not, that's not something that's going to show up, you know, with a red mark.
I mean, it just happened at Iowa State.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It'd be pretty similar in the eyes of the actual numbers. You know, if you're going to get down to the numbers, not all that different from losing at Ames, and I think we all agree that was okay. Certainly would have liked to win the game, but that was survivable. So K-State now finds themselves in this boat. I think because of the resurgence of Tennessee, it almost affords you more of an opportunity. As weird as that sounds, it almost affords you more of an opportunity to buy a rest here for Dean.
Mm-hmm. And you need to learn, I mean, these young players on this K-State team need to learn how to win without, you know, one of their better players on the floor. I mean, you cannot have any sort of guarantee that when you get to tournament time that you're going to have a 100% healthy roster. I mean, by going into this environment and potentially not having him if they're able to win, I think that that shows a huge step up in the maturity of this team and a huge capability that they have of actually enduring more situations like this down the road when the games are not just a Big 12 SEC challenge game in the middle of the season, but when you get to Big 12 tournament time and NCAA tournament.
Well, and honestly, the example I would use more than like if you – are going to be facing a game like that without one of these guys because of injury, I think the better, more likely scenario is you'd be facing one of those guys in some serious foul trouble at a point down the road. You know, it's happened some. There's been a smidge of foul trouble that K-State's had to deal with in some of these big games, but not anything real crucial, you know, for a real big stretch of time. There hasn't been a giant moment like that that this team's had to deal with, and you'd have to figure that one's coming and what's going to wind up being a pretty important game for a bubbly team. They're a bubbly team, and they're going to be there for the foreseeable future. So there's going to be some important games where I think you would have to deal with that. And you got to find the answer. You got to find the answer at some point. They've been able to get by on the strength of those frontline guys, which is great, but I've always had my doubts about the depth. And I knew at some point we were going to hit a bump in the road where this was going to come up, and now appears to be one of those times.
I do think that K-State has gotten closer to being able to deal with an injury like this in the last couple weeks compared to the beginning of the season, because I think that Isaiah Maurice has played better basketball. Yes, he's been limited by his own foul trouble. He can't seem to go 5 minutes without committing a foul, but he apparently loves the baseline mid-range jumper. He's been really solid in that, and I think that he has contributed more positive minutes than he certainly did at the beginning of the year. So maybe K-State is a little bit more equipped to actually deal with an injury right now.
Yeah, the three-game suspension stunted his growth, but you probably feel better about it at this point than you did 2-3 weeks ago, for sure. Especially the Baylor game, he grabbed, five rebounds when he played and knocked down one of those baseline jumpers. But there is still going to be an aspect of he's getting totally just thrown into the fire.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he were to have to play 20 minutes in a game, I mean, that's throwing him into the fire.
He isn't conditioned to play 20 minutes anyway. I mean, you can see how much he is huffing and puffing after playing 6 or 8.
And they do have Austin Budkey as well. You know, it's not like it would be all just totally thrust upon Isaiah Maurice. I mean, there are some other ways that you could sprinkle minutes here, sprinkle minutes there. I mean, it's not just a cut-and-dried solution here. But you know that how does this team win? When they win, we almost always look at the box score, and there are five guys in double figures. You know, I mean, will that be made up if Dean Wade's not playing in a game? That's where I don't know Isaiah Maurice is going to pop for 12, 13 points to go along with 5, 6, 7 rebounds. That, to me, seems like too much of an expectation. And we know that Austin Budkey doesn't really score much outside of the 5 that he had in Allen Fieldhouse, ironically enough.
Yeah, and he can occasionally step back and hit a 3 now for some reason. But, you know, that's about it with Austin Budkey.
So, K-State may be in a little bit of hot water as far as that is concerned with Dean Wade potentially being a game-time decision. Now, one other thing that we had to discuss here that has to do with Big 12 basketball, Kansas and Baylor has turned in certainly to a much more intriguing race here with KU losing to West Virginia earlier in the week, but I don't think we would have expected at that point in time things to get that much more interesting for the Jayhawks, but it has. They have a whole bevy of distractions going on. One, the investigation with the Lawrence Police Department into what happened at the basketball dorm. Some of the players are witnesses in that case. Bill Self did have a press conference yesterday. They don't expect anyone to be suspended or anything as a result of that, but they're still having to deal with just that sort. I mean, it's not good publicity. You'd rather not be dealing with that. And he even admitted that it has been somewhat of a distraction. Then Carlton Bragg, it comes down that he has been suspended. It's just a violation of team rules. Nothing in connection with that. They're thin. That's another distraction. They've just lost a game, you know, for the first time in Big 12 play. They're going to play Kentucky, and I know that that's a huge game and a game that people do care about. But I really just sit there and say I wish that Kansas were playing a conference game more than anything right now, because it's not just that I want to see Kansas lose. It's that I really want to see a league race. You know, I think everybody in the Big 12 that's not wearing the red and blue wants to see a Big 12 race. It's so much rather them just be playing any Big 12 game this weekend, just about, because it's so tough. In the Big 12, there's not really a gimme win. Kansas has been close with just about everybody. You'd like to see him be doing that, because the Kentucky game is not going to have, obviously, an impact on anything that matters from everyone else's sake for Kansas.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, there always seems to be a period, a 1 to 2 week period during the league schedule where there are big questions about Kansas. Sometimes in the past it's been the fact that they don't have very good point guard play. Sometimes it's been injuries. Sometimes it's been poor defense, you know, what have you. But there's always a, oh, is this the end for Kansas kind of moment. And this is where we're at with them this year. But the problem is it's coinciding with this Big 12 SEC challenge. And so you don't have that that added opportunity. The league doesn't have that added opportunity to add another loss to their column. And KU is an interesting team, because their defense right now, defensive efficiency, is sixth in the league, and they've been either first or second in every Bill Self season in the Big 12. They've allowed 80 points in 4 out of their 8 Big 12 games so far, so there are some real issues, and now they're going into this game against Kentucky with only 8 players that are going to be available.
It's crazy to think that for Kansas, and obviously the Azubuike injury combined with Bragg now being out is a big factor in what's hurt them down low. And a rim protector, not having one of those, has been a talking point throughout the whole year for Kansas. You know, I still think, even without Carlton Bragg, they're probably fine, but it's just, I always talk about the death by a thousand cuts thing. I mean, we're seeing some cuts mounting up here on this Kansas squad that we don't normally see. There might be a distraction in a given year. There might be an injury in a given year for Kansas. There might be a suspension in a given year for Kansas. We're seeing all that here this year. And so if you do want to start dreaming and hoping that this is the year that it ends, I do think there's reason to put a little bit of stock into that. No, they don't play a Big 12 team this weekend, but they still have a really rough stretch coming up here. It's not just this Kentucky game. They're going to get tested big time because Baylor is right around the corner for them as well, albeit at Allen Fieldhouse, but it is Baylor. So can Kansas weather this storm? I think common logic would still say just, hey, don't even tell me what it is you're going to tell me about Kansas and what's going to happen. Mark me down for them winning the title. But this is more than we've seen in a long time, at least that I can remember off the top of my head, in terms of just adversity that they're having to battle through.
I think that they are probably going to lose to Kentucky by double digits. And honestly, the fact that they have this many distractions and other things going on will probably give their fans an opportunity to say, well, you know, so what? I mean, basically treating it like we were talking about the K-State Tennessee game, holding Dean Wade out because the conference games are more important. You might hear that from KU fans if they get blown out by Kentucky. Well, we didn't really care about this game anyway. We need to make sure that we get things fixed and back on track to try to win 13 straight.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the side, too, that you could say all those guys get out there, they're tired of being distracted, they're tired of hearing about everything else, and they respond in the right way. But, you know, the lack of depth, a great team like Kentucky. Kentucky should be fired up. I mean, that's the other side of this coin. It's very interesting how we're getting each side of the Tennessee-Kentucky game affecting K-State and then Kansas here in this one. So there's still a lot, I think, that would point in the direction, yes, of a Kentucky win in that scenario. And then just becomes a matter of how much does that actually hurt Kansas. I'm not sure, and I don't think we really care. It just comes back to how does Kansas bounce back from that then when they go back into the Big 12 schedule. That's really what I'm interested in. And I do think this will have some effect. You know, I think this may mean that it's going to be a race down to the end Whether or not that means Baylor actually knocks them off, I doubt it outright. Baylor may be able to grab a share. That honestly could be the biggest consequence of it.
It sure would be nice if Oklahoma hadn't thrown a wrench into this by going into Morgantown and winning, and we still had, you know, maybe three teams that had a spot at the table in this Big 12 race.
Well, you can look in the mirror at that one, too. I mean, K-State beating West Virginia didn't help either.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just don't think West Virginia's quite up there with Baylor. I mean, Baylor just continues to prove it. They continue to prove it. Jonathan Motley's playing at a really elite level. Not that Baylor looked great against Texas Tech in the middle of the week, but they haven't slipped up, knock on wood, and lost a really, really dumb game yet. It's fine to go lose at West Virginia. We expect Baylor to have a couple of those. The Scott Drew haters would label them like Scott Drew games, but that has not happened yet. It has not happened. We roll on here on the game of the hour, in hour two, that is, excuse me, at 5:25. Bruce Weber will lift back the curtain a little bit on how this Big 12 SEC challenge came about at a time when the Big 12 was a little bit vulnerable. But very sad debate between Tyler and I to close off the hour. You're listening to the game.